Where would you like to dine today? We'll get some suggestions today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Karen and Kevin Urich eat out a lot, according to the newspapers. We'll ask them about that on Scribble. That must be an interesting job. Wouldn't you like to have a job like that?
I would. Yes, I would. How in the world did you ever come up with this idea?
You know, that's a good question. I'll start here. It was actually sort of my idea as we traveled. One of the things Kevin and I like to do is travel the world. We've been on all 7 continents, 50-some countries. And as you sit in many airports, we start talking about what it's like to eat. When we always travel for local food. We never eat in a chain restaurant. It's one of the goals that we have. So we got to thinking, we really don't know the restaurants in our own area. There are so many people that want, not that chain restaurants are bad, they're very good, but we wanted to promote our local culture. And so thinking about that, probably 2 years ago, this coming spring, we finally decided if we don't do something about it, it'll never happen.
As we used to travel with the kids, Karen and I had books that her mom had given us called Road Food. They were the Sterns. And sometimes we would drive 30 miles out of our way to get that red cake and whoopie pie in some rural town in Pennsylvania. And so we love food. We love all kinds of food. And we love to find that little place, that little mom and pop place that's out of the way. We've had times where we traveled down highway in Maine, and I know we came into a place called Moody's Diner, and I said, Karen, this place ought to be in the book. It's such a great place. I went out to the car, and it was.
So we finally decided that they needed to have a local article. And so out of the blue, after one of our trips, so we got back 2 years ago in March, I emailed Roger Ruthart, and he's the editor, right, of the Daily Dispatch. And I said to Roger, you really need to promote the local restaurants in our area, and you need us to do it. And surprisingly, Roger emailed us back, took us some time over the summer to get things worked out. We have to admit, as you know, there's not a lot of money in the newspaper business.
Oh, you noticed.
We've noticed. You guys are aware of this. So a lot of our meals are barely covered by, you know, what we receive from the newspaper. But that's not our goal. Our goal is to promote the local, hardworking, wonderful restaurants that we have here in the Quad Cities.
Have you covered them all, Kevin?
We haven't covered nearly all, but it's amazing the discoveries we've had. What's really fun is getting a suggestion in our email and going to that that place that has been there for 40 years and we've never been there, and we go and have a great time and have a great food, a great meal. And hearing back from people that have that same experience that say, I've driven near there for the last 20 years and I didn't even know it existed. We had a local gentleman that runs theater in Geneseo said, you know, I'd never heard of Bare Bones Barbecue. It's been there 8 years. And by golly, I've already been back 4 times.
You know, there was a little sandwich shop, and the name of it escapes me, up on, I think, 14th Avenue. And
Star Sandwich Shop.
Star. It seated, what, 8 people or something like that?
12, I believe.
12?
It had a table.
It had a table and a counter.
Yes.
But it took no time at all to fill that place up.
And the burgers were all named after the waitresses, Ethel's Burger. And,
oh, I've never, and I've never heard of that.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. And some of the most prominent people in town would show up at that restaurant. I met Tom Rails back in there one time. For heaven's sakes, it can only hold so many people. But
yeah. Well, the kind of restaurants you're talking about, you know, the Quad Cities has them, and it used to have even more. There was a Chinese restaurant down near Sears in Davenport, Yun's Chinese Chop Suey House or something like that. And it's the kind of place you went in, and there were people there in bowling shirts and fur coats waiting for tables because, again, there were only about six or seven tables. And if a student took me there, said, I'm going to take you to this place, but you can't tell anybody about it because it's too popular, right?
You know, it seems to me there's been an explosion of Asian food in the area. I've lived here since 46, so it seems to me there are a lot more Asian cuisine. And I guess it's divided into different countries and so on. Have you noticed that as well?
We have had the chance to try out some Asian that's been here for a long time. But we enjoy Thai food. We enjoy Chinese food. We enjoy trying different things. And really what we want to do is go into one of these Asian restaurants or any type of ethnic restaurant and show people that there's good things to eat here and give them a suggestion of what they want to come there for. They can grab our article and go in and they're going to have a good meal.
Our first one that we visited was Exotic Thai. We've been
there
for many years. We wanted to go to Lemongrass as well, and so when we interviewed the owner, we found out that she owned Lemongrass.
Right.
So she owns both Exotic Thai and Lemongrass. And of course, for Vietnamese, our next stop had to be Le Mekong, a staple. That's right. Did I name the right? And it's been a staple here in the Quad Cities for a long period of time. So to interview both the son and the dad and to find out their history was a very important part.
You know, the killer for me was the closing of two poles of restaurants that I visited, Le Figaro in Rock Island and Pasteur's in Moline. Mm-hmm. Those two closings broke my heart because I loved them. I just loved them. Have you been to did you have a chance to visit both?
We did. In fact, I should start. Le Figaro was my favorite place. We'd been there for over 30 years. My birthday, that's all I wanted, was to go to Le Figaro's to have their garlic soup.
And the swan.
I always had the meringue swan.
Right?
In fact, I tried to replicate that at home. And, of course, we'd been to Pasteur's where he knew everybody's name.
Boy, didn't he. I soon just drove, you know, Mr. Don, or Senator, whatever it was. Yeah, every time I think, can I come into this place quietly soon?
Well, he even remembers people that weren't there because I went in with my granddaughter one of the last years he was open, and he said, you haven't been here before.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he does. He does.
Yeah, that was a great place.
It closed just a few months before we started the article.
So you have been eating around like that for 30 years?
Yeah, we have.
So did you ever stumble on Ma's Studio Diner on Brady?
No.
You blew it.
Okay.
One of my self-imposed rules was when we started the article a year ago in September, I wanted to feature the Illinois side. We hear so many people say, well, there's nothing to eat on the Illinois side. So our first 26 restaurants were Illinois side restaurants. And then since then, we've been alternating Illinois, Iowa. But you know, that was a kind of self-imposed rule. So we're planning to get to all sorts of those fun places, out-of-the-way places, to tell readers about where they need to go on the Iowa side.
Do people suggest names to you?
Yeah, they do. We have an email, quadcityrestaurants@gmail.com. Actually, probably.
And you'd welcome suggestions?
Oh, please do. Right. We get quite a few suggestions that come in. Oftentimes, we'll stop in, maybe have a beverage or have an appetizer, or just have to rely on other people's recommendations before we go. So we need recommendations. That's one of the things we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, there's some places that are just right in the middle. I think of Village Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Village Inn is, there are four of us who meet there every Tuesday night. And I thought, this is such a comfortable place. Food is good, prices are right, service is great. And you get stuck in a rut in a way that you just keep going back to the same places. It, branching out takes a little enterprise. And I guess that's what you two are trying to get us to do, to branch out and go to different places. Is that a fair assumption?
Oh, that is. You know, it's fun to get an email for a restaurant that we've never been at, wouldn't have thought of going to. Last week we went to Café de Marie on the Davenport side. There's very little signage on the outside. It's a fabulous old building built in 1864. And, you know, the food was great. And we want to be able to tell people what they can go there for, that, you know, which of the 27 teas to try and which of the paninis would be the best for some guy.
Uh-huh.
And so, but it's fun to experience the unexpected.
But when you go into a restaurant and you're presented with a menu, you're certainly not going to eat everything that's on the menu.
You sound like you do, however.
We do. You know, that's actually, you know, as most things evolve, you know, and as you go evolve, as you go through time on our article, we used to go in cold. We wouldn't let them know that we were there. And we found it difficult to be able to talk to the owner and get our interview done. So now we do set up a meeting. We're not critics, and that's what we like about our article. We are simply there to talk about the local restaurants, why you should go, and what they have. So we see ourselves as special interest promoters. So we ask the owners now, what do you want us to have? What is it that you would like us to be able to present? What do you see as your favorites? And as we begin that, we do end up taking home some leftovers because we find that there are things. We can only take so many pictures. We have to take all our own photos because of the proprietary rights that the newspaper has. So we've kind of we get recommendations from the waitress, patrons that sat next to us. We had to take home a piece of lemon cake last week to be able to have it. So we now use the recommendations of the owners or our waiter as to what they think we should have.
So do you take photographs right there? And
we do.
Karen takes all the photographs of the food. She has an iPhone 7 that takes fabulous pictures. Karen has always had a knack for taking photography. She has taken such good photography for our, you know, home use, and she's just put that experience right over into the restaurant review.
Have you ever added up all the restaurants there are in the area?
Oh, added up? No, that would be an interesting thing to do. You know, it's really hard to find any website that's going to have all the local restaurants. Some of them promote a certain cuisine. We really need recommendations of the kind of restaurants that we'd like them to be open a year. That's our one requirement, is that we're not going to visit a restaurant unless they've been open a year. So mm-hmm. any restaurant that's been open a year or nearing that first anniversary are the kind we love to visit.
How do you review a place like Dynasty, which is a buffet? It has about 12 different tables of every kind of food you can imagine. Have you ever been to a buffet, reviewed a buffet?
We have not reviewed a buffet.
Mainly because I find I don't do buffets well. It's hard for me to limit the amount that I eat. And I got to admit, when we go out to eat as a dinner for two, I don't want to have to walk to get my food.
Right.
I love to be
my
served.
My wife would agree with you.
I know. It's an experience. I have to do that at home. So I want a waiter or waitress to come to our table, give us a chance to talk. Dinner for Two is one of the reasons why we titled the article. So we came up with the name, presented them, you know, about three names to the paper on how to do this. we're not trying to promote just couples. We're trying to promote an opportunity for people to go out, to sit, to relax in our busy world and enjoy a meal.
Well, what I really like about your program, and those columns have to become the most popular thing in the Argus these days, because I hang out down at the Reading for the Blind area, and every time there's a new thing, everybody turns to it and comments on it and stuff. So I mean, you really are bringing people in, I'm sure, to places that they've never been to before.
Well, Karen does a great job of writing. Initially, we thought I would have my side of the column and she would have her side of the column. Well, we both eat any food, and we both enjoy a lot of the same things, and there was some repetition. And so really it's working out great for me because she is very organized, a great writer. She writes the most of the column, and then I just put my three sentences in at the end, and it works good in my world.
I think that's a neat, that he said, she said, is really a neat little way to end the thing, because you have slightly different tastes and can recommend different things.
Pardon me. I wanted to ask, I know that you write this column. Do you have another life besides in the newspapers?
You know, that's kind of funny because we go in and we always tell everybody that really we're nobody. We have no, special qualifications to do this other than being the general public that goes out. I'm a teacher. I have taught 8th grade science now for 32 years.
Mm-hmm. I am a lifelong farmer on a 5-generation farm in Henry County. I'm also a realtor. I've been a realtor since 1999, so I wear a few hats, but I love to eat. Of course, I used to have cattle on the farm. I love good meat meals, and I love the way Karen cooks them. Karen will cook any style. And we have always, wherever we've traveled to in the world, Karen will always have a Christmas dinner that year, featuring all the foods that we've eaten on our trips. And it's been a fascinating life. Karen has made eating a lot of fun. And we just like to just share our love of food with other people.
And so when they asked us to write an intro, as for the article, it's really true. We grow our own food, we raise our own food, we travel for food, we eat food. And so really that's our only qualification for doing this.
Well, it's... there's something to be said about being served. One of the things I loved about Le Figaro was that you didn't go in there if you were in a hurry. You spent a good long time at the different parts of the meal all the way through. I loved their lobster bisque. Mm-hmm. That was almost a meal in itself. But to start with that, and then later on they'd bring you the entree, and then later on you'd have a dessert, first a salad. It was a wonderful experience. And nowadays, almost everyone is in such a hurry that you dash in, you have your food, and you dash out. I take it you prefer to dine rather than just eat.
I love to dine. Of course, our column features all different types of foods and different places to eat. I have loved to dine all my life. I love a table that's set... with all the different silverwares and all the different glasses and the beautiful china, that's always been a part of me, and it isn't a part of every guy, but I grew up with that, and I love having a special meal. I will spend a lot of time making sure everything's spaced so we have a beautiful presentation for our guests.
Uh-huh.
And in foreign countries, that's the interesting part. One of the things we found out by traveling is really food is not fast. When you eat in Denmark, it's a 4-hour meal. They don't turn a table over. You'll start at 7 and you eat till 11. So in many cultures, it's a much slower pace, and that's one of the things that we've come to enjoy.
But that doesn't bar you from going to a mom-and-pop restaurant.
No, it does. You know what? We don't do fast food. Our children didn't eat fast food. if I'm going to eat fast food, I might as well grab something at home when we were growing up. But even at a mom and pop restaurant, we'll take the time, we'll sit there, we chat with our waiter or waitress that we have. It's meant to be a slower meal than running in for fast food.
Mm-hmm. I love to go to a place like when we were at the Judy's Barge Inn, finding out those recipes were from great-grandmother. You know, great-grandmother's pie crust and the recipes that have been handed down and used. It's fun to go into a restaurant and find out that these are family recipes and they learned to cook these right next to mom. The son that's a great chef today learned a lot of those cooking skills right next to mom in the kitchen.
And Mama Compton's used to feature that. They had recipes that Mama Compton had used,
right.
And they served them at the restaurant. So it's got to be an interesting thing. How often do you go out to eat?
We go out once every 2 weeks. That's our goal. We're not sure if we're going to keep it at the 2 weeks or change that time frame. It's strictly up to us whether or not we increase it or decrease it. When we're gone or when we're traveling, sometimes we'll have to eat out multiple times just to be able to have the columns done ahead of time. We found once our children left home and had grown up, it was easy to stay home. And we see that with a lot of our friends at this age. So it became our goal, part of our incentive, is for us to enjoy a time out and a reason to go out to eat.
Is there a most surprising place you've discovered?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, you don't want to name your favorites, but it's really places that we didn't know exist. Alfano's Pizza.
I read that and I thought, they cannot get a column out of Alfano's. It's takeout mostly, right?
And you
did.
I had no idea until somebody had written us an article or new email about that even existed. I think it's the barbecue places. Bare Bones Barbecue. We did not realize that he was the son of the owner of Bud Skyline Hill. Bud Skyline.
And they've got the salad bar now.
Oh, and the dressing.
Yeah.
So he has the garlic dressing that's there. So those are the surprises, I think, that we have found.
Sure. And hearing some of the heritage, the Boar's Head, the heritage that's carried on to Miss Mamie's, I wasn't aware of that. It's fun to go in and get the stories of the, the past, the Quad City traditions that are being carried on in these small restaurants that you don't get in a chain restaurant.
My dad was in the restaurant business his entire life. He said people got to eat. And if you know how to buy food, prepare it, and serve it, and price it, then that's all you need. And he made his living that way all his life.
Hard work.
It is hard work.
It is hard work.
Well, you make it sound delightful, and we are really grateful to you for coming in to tell us about it. Keep dining out and keep writing, and we'll keep reading, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Karen and Kevin Urich. And with that, we'll take a break and come back with the book bag. Well, did that whet your appetite?
Oh, it does. They do. I mean, every other Thursday when that column appears, I thought, geez, we can't go there till for 2 weeks because they're going to be so crowded with it. I mean, they make you really want to go there, and I don't think they cheat. I don't think they're putting on the dog. I think they're telling you the truth, but they do find the best.
But you know one quality of restaurants that I value above everything else is quiet. Le Figaro was quiet.
Yes, yes.
And when you go into so many restaurants with hard surfaces and high ceilings, it's just so hard to hear. And so I love food and I love different kinds of food, but I really like to be able to eat in some kind of quiet.
Well, that's true of the Village Inn. For as many people as are in there, it is relatively quiet.
Yeah, and that's why, I wind up going there once a week. But, yeah, since Le Figaro went out of business, I have been disconsolate. Well, there's no food in the book bag, but surely you have something.
I do have a book sort of left over. This is a book that I've, you know, given a 2 or 3 minutes I could have done any time over the past year, but I keep coming back to it, and I've left it on my list, and so I'll do it now in the time we have. It's a book called Lab Girl, L-A-B, Lab Girl, by Hope Jahren, J-A-H-R-E-N. She's a paleobotanist whose specialty is trees. She grew up in Austin, Minnesota, where her dad taught agriculture at the local junior college, and so she got the run of the lab and got hooked on science. What is interesting about this is not only do you learn an awful lot about trees, in fact, willow trees can warn each other that there's an enemy near. Trees who are being eaten by insects can send messages to similar trees, sycamore trees, telling you, you know, bitter up your leaves because this insect, you know, is going to decimate us. How they can do that, I don't know, but they can.
That is the thing about trees, well, about all plants, you know, as I've gotten older and as the science has become more precise, you learn that plants communicate with one another, and trees are especially good at that.
Yeah, and, you know, we thought trees are just, you know, Tolkien was right, right?
Yeah.
the ants have something there. But the other thing I like about this book is it's really three books in one. Not only do you learn an awful lot about trees, but you'll learn a lot about how scientists operate. How does she go about doing her experiments? And the patience and the length and the detail to which you have to go is just astounding. Also, the fact that, and I think most people probably know this, to be a scientist at a major university means you've got to pay your own way. You've got to get grants that are going to pay for your research. And if the grants run out, there goes your lab into the dustbin, or you take it to another place where you get a different kind of grant. So constantly, Hope Jahren not only is studying trees and setting up her research, but she is wondering where she's going to get the next grant. Paleobotany isn't, you know, on the high scoreboard of places that give grants. What if the National Science Foundation runs out of money? What's going to happen? Where am I going to be next year? And the third book is the study of a character, her assistant for 20 years, named Bill. He's, I guess, in real life, he would be a hermit. He would certainly be homeless. He almost is homeless. He doesn't have any place. He has no ambition to become a great teacher. He has an ambition to be an assistant. He can't fit in anywhere, but he is a perfect lab assistant because he gets excited about trees and about things. So that for 20 years, he has followed Hope Jahren from lab to lab, a colorful, weird character. But it is just a really interesting, great book.
Boy, that sounds fascinating. I've never heard of this book. What is the title again?
Lab Girl.
Lab Girl. I guess Lab Girl is something we have to look into. But right now we're going to have to head for the exit because our time is just about up. I'm Don Wooten with Roll Tweet. We thank you for joining us today, and we invite you to be back again next week for the next edition of Scribble.